With reference to this settlement that was announced yesterday, we heard from our Prime Minister at a press conference, this $132.7 million class action over toxic PFAS contamination across Australia. And I mentioned Carrie Fellner, who used to work in our newsroom and then with the local paper and now writes as a investigative journalist with the Sydney Morning Herald. She writes in today's Herald that back in 2020, when Defence settled a class action over firefighting foam pollution in three communities neighbouring its bases, bean counters were obviously hoping that maybe that was the end of it. However, and that was a $212 million settlement, but within months, a further 30,000 residents living in seven communities across Australia launched their own class action. That culminated yesterday in this $132.7 million settlement, which equates to about a bit over $4,000 for each person, which is not a lot of money. The Shine lawyer was saying it was a wonderful outcome, but I think if you're one of the 30,000 and you end up with $4,000, boy, that's the spoils of the settlement. $4,400 per head, described as being a paltry sum, that fear that their entire lives have been upended by this PFAS contamination. And certainly somebody who's been affected, who's in my area, near the Williamtown RAF base, just north of Newcastle. Fullerton Cove is the suburb. Lindsay Cloud has been a spokesperson for people affected by PFAS for many years. Lindsay joins me now. Good morning, Lindsay.
Yeah, good morning, Richard.
The $4,000 per 30,000, it's not a lot, is it? Exactly what's that money for, do you know?
Yeah, I understand it's for property value loss, the same as our class action. The difficulty there is it's such a wide area that it's hard to make an estimation. I mean, I know it's very easy to say 30,000 into the amount that was given.
Yep.
But, you know, based on some areas, I mean, it is a percentage value loss of your property because of the contamination. So it could be varied right across the country.
All right. Now, you live at Fullerton Cove, and that's regarded as being in the red zone. Now, how does that affect you? If your property's in the red zone, simply what does that mean, Lindsay?
Well, we're talking about the property value loss, it certainly has a major impact on that, and that's still ongoing in our area, and that's still something that we're trying to deal with. But
all right. Well, if you wanted to upgrade your property, would you be able to borrow money to do that if it's a property in the red zone?
Well, that's the difficulty. Primarily, we're under the major restriction that our properties are not fit for purpose. You know, we can't, it's the area is zoned rural, RU2, and most people have lifestyle blocks. And, you know, you can't grow your vegetables, you can't raise your poultry and consume them yourself, you can't even consume your own beef. They're all of the restrictions that were put on 4 or 5, 6 years ago, or maybe 7 years ago now, and they're still there. So, you know, that's what it means.
Yes, okay. And what if you put your property on the market? It would be difficult for somebody to borrow money to buy into a red zone. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that still exists in this area now.
All right. Now you claim that you've been, you know, testing your soil at your property in Fullerton Cove, as I understand it, for a number of years, and for a number of years it's been coming up negative. So you're not PFAS contaminated, in your opinion?
Yes. Well, that's the question that I've been asking for nearly 18 months now. That why some of us are still in this so-called red zone, and I might add, you know, we're the only contaminated site in the country that has a line around us, which you know, clearly makes this.
Okay, you're either in or out of the red zone. In other words,
yeah, that's right. And from my perspective, and a lot of my neighbours' perspective, we've had groundwater tests right from the beginning of this contamination announcement, and they have been negative.
Right, so you're arguing you shouldn't be in the red zone.
Yes, certainly. Mm. Now, you know, I can qualify our position that when this contamination was announced, the information that we had about this chemical in the groundwater was that it was extremely mobile. So we, as a community, asked the question that on the original contaminated zone that was put in place to be extended, because we wanted the people that were close to that area to be protected. Now, what's happened is that the plume studies that have been carried out by Defence have confirmed that this mobility hasn't been quite what we first thought. So this precautionary area, this outer management zone that we have, I see as being not necessary.
Right, okay. Well, as I understand it, state and federal ministers are meeting in Sydney on Friday to discuss some sort of approach to the management of PFAS in New South Wales. What are you hoping might come out of that meeting?
Well, I want at least this issue to be identified. The area here is quite complex. We've got three different contamination zones. The primary zone, you know, those people are still in the teeth of it. The heartening thing is that the recent plume maps that Defence have put out, and they will be in a letterbox drop within days, will give people some comfort that the cleanup is working. The magnitude of the contamination on the base in that primary zone is being reduced. But those people are still in the teeth of it. And then we have the secondary management zone. That hasn't been increasing, which is also positive. But once again, we've got people that are exposed to the contamination. Then we've got the outer zone that we've been just been talking about. So you can see it is quite a complex.
Very, very complex. Okay, just back to this settlement yesterday, the $30,000 apparently getting about $4,000 a person. Given your experience and the impact it's had on you, do you agree that it's a pittance, really, in terms of the effect it's had on property values?
Well, it's a hard question to answer, Richard.
Okay.
Certainly it is a small, it would be seen as a small amount of money.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it is the thin end of the wedge of getting some action on PFAS contamination.
Right.
If people had decided to take health impacts to a class action, we'd be sitting fighting this for the next 20 years because it is just not so clear. But the property value loss was something that was quite quantifiable.
Yeah.
And that's why ours was one and theirs was one.
Yeah, and apparently there's another one due before the end of this month. Another lawsuit, apparently, which will go to trial before the end of the month and more than 90 contaminated sites nationwide.
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, I'm quoting from Carrie Fellner's article in the Sydney Morning Herald, with a further lawsuit due to go to trial before the end of the month and more than 90 contaminated sites nationwide, it's easy to envisage the federal government's liability soaring beyond $500 million.
Yes, certainly. I would think this additional 90 sites may not be military sites because we've got airports and we've got fire stations. You know, it is everywhere.
Well, at least it was good yesterday to hear the Prime Minister, I think, become the first federal government official to publicly voice concern about the health impacts of PFAS, Lindsay. That was a first.
Yes, I think that was a huge statement. I was quite taken back when I heard that. And that is the fact. His words were quite accurate. Let's not just get all hung up talking about money. The real issue here is the health impacts.
Yeah.
And further to that, we have a number of health studies being carried out across the country that began around about 3 years ago and had something like a 3 to 5 year term. So those results will start coming through. Now, you know, that we wanted to know what is the ongoing impact of being exposed to this chemical?
Yes, yeah, that's the big thing. Look, thank you very much for your time, Lindsay. It will be interesting to see if there are any outcomes that result from that meeting on Friday between state and federal ministers.